One of the greatest things in a Christian life is to watch the Lord answer prayer. The problem with the vast majority of Christians is they don't pray. So to get prayer answered is difficult.
What, the teenagers, were they supposed to do something? What's that? Were they going to do it now? They didn't tell me anything. Oh, that's fine. I figured they just having their class. Okay.
All right. Take your Bibles. Turn to Genesis, please. We're going to have to recap a little bit because we were missing a week in the middle here. Genesis chapter 6. I had a tremendous opportunity to go to Warren Baptist Temple this last week on the heels of their conference with Brother Ouellette. And they probably had, I would say, 50 or 60 in attendance, I would think, somewhere in that area. And I had the opportunity to preach to that church and present the school, although I preached much longer than I presented the school, that's for sure. But what a great church he's got there. Brother Dittmar's a good man. And boy, he stands on that old book. And I just felt tremendous liberty to preach inside that building and had a very, very good time doing it. So thank you for praying for that this week, this Wednesday. If you'll continue to pray for me, I get another opportunity to preach at Brother Teague's church in Atwater. Another very good man, tremendous fella, great preacher. And we're excited to be able to go there. I don't know if you remember that the services that we had last year with them, but it was a great time. So make sure that you pray about that for me. They have a revival starting this week, and it's I don't know the two other two fellas that are preaching in it, but I'm quite sure that they're very good. But we had such a good time that church is an excitable church, and it's good to be there. Pray for his son Joe. I don't know if you remember him. He was here a couple of times with Brother Teague. He went out hunting this last week. It was in November, I believe, right in November. He was out hunting, and he had a 50 caliber black powder gun, and he was trying to keep his powder dry, and I don't know all of the information, but he had it under his coat, from what I understand, and the gun went off and went through his foot. And so he's been battling that for ever since November, and the doctor's prognosis was not very good that he'd even be able to walk again because a 50 caliber bullet's a big bullet. That's not anything to sneeze at. But he's getting feeling back in his foot, the last I heard, so we're excited about that because they were worried that he wouldn't even have that anymore. But continue to pray for him. They rebuild it. They put all kinds of plates and stuff in there to try to get it back to where he could put weight on it again. And he's not going to be able to put weight on it for at least a year. So make sure you pray for Joe. And I'll get to see him this week. I'm excited about it. He's a good kid, real good kid. It's just one of those things that happens. It's, you know, terrifying. But anyways, I hope and pray that you'll pray for Joe this coming up months or so. He's a good boy, and I hope and pray everything goes well for him. But all right, Genesis chapter 6. Let's start out with a word of prayer this morning. Brother Marty, could you stand and lead us in prayer for the Sunday school hour, please? Yes. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike. I'm so glad you're back. I'm having a hard time getting started here. I really am. I am having a hard time getting started this morning. I I promise you, you go through four different major problems in your life physically, I promise you, I'll come down and give you a hug and a kiss too. It does my heart great good to see him this morning. I love him. And let me explain something to you real quick. I'll get to the lesson here in a minute, but not everybody goes through issues like a Christian ought to. And I'm not against, listen, I can't even begin to express to you how preachers feel differently about their people. I'm going to tell you, it is something that you don't really expect when you're a preacher. You hurt for your people. And I know I'm not the pastor here, but I'm going to tell you, I hurt for people. I really do, and it's something I didn't look forward to when I got called into the ministry, but it's all part and parcel of what happens. And for me to watch him in his state that he was in when he was so sick up there at Cleveland Clinic, I'm going to be honest with you, every time I went to see him, he encouraged me. And when you can do that as a Christian, you know you've got a great God. I'm going to tell you, you've got a great God. And there's no secret here, and I know he would echo this as well. God is good all the time. And it took God to bring him through what he brought him through. And the great thing about Brother Mike is he'll now use that as a testimony. Not as a crutch, he'll use that as a testimony because he's stronger now. And I'm excited about that. It's when you're a preacher and you got folks hurting, it's hard to even... It gets emotional for you, and it's difficult. But praise the Lord, brother. I'm glad that you're here today, and I'm real excited about what we're going to do in the near future. So, all righty, your Bible's in Genesis chapter 6. We're going to read through this again. We'll just quickly review. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, for he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown." Right after this, you see verse 5, the Bible says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And because of this, the flood came. We've labored over the fact that these were fallen angels that came in under the daughters of men. And because of that, these fallen angels produced giants that came out of them. And those giants were, and I'll rehash this at the end. I hope to get to it. These giants populated the earth with children and evil thoughts and wickedness. And because of all that, Noah preached for literally 120 years and did not have a convert. 120 years of preaching and did not have a convert. You want to know how I know that? Because only 8 got on the boat. And if only 8 got on the boat, that means only 8 were saved. And because only 8 were saved, when the Lord brought that deluge upon the face of the earth and buried everybody in the mud, it let us know that the thoughts, and you got to understand something. You can say this, and the Bible says later on in the New Testament, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We're not here by any stretch of the imagination. Not every thought in every person's heart is only evil continually. Can you imagine? I don't know if you can grasp what that's saying. Every thought is only evil continually is in a place we're not in yet. Because people are still getting saved. People are still talking about Jesus Christ. And I believe that the Lord is not done with America yet. I believe that we can still have revival in America. I believe we can still talk about Christ. We're not getting persecuted. People are starting to, you know, get a little frightened, but I'm going to tell you right now, be frightened. We're still allowed to talk about Jesus Christ. We're still allowed to pray. We've shied away from it because we don't like to be made fun of, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'd rather be made fun of praying. Hello? Yep. I'd rather be made fun of praying and preaching and talking about Jesus Christ than fit in with the crowd. So the thoughts and the intents of the heart at this time were only evil continually. That's why the Lord... brought the flood, and we went through a couple of different things that showed us, and if you just read this, it should let you know that it's not the sons of Seth. I mean, it just makes no sense, and we labored over that it makes no sense. And there's two more things that I want to go over, and it will show you a little bit more, and we're going to bring the New Testament into play here. So we're going to look at Jude chapter 5. If you'll turn over to Jude chapter 5. Jude 5, I'm sorry. Jude, just the verse 5, because Jude's only one chapter. I'm sorry. I'm going to blame everything I mess up on today on Brother Mike, so just let you know that. Aren't you glad to be back, brother? Amen. Amen. Yes, Miss Darlene is sick, in case you didn't know that. She's not here today. What a great nurse you had, though. Amen. Praise the Lord for Miss Darlene. Jude, let's go in verse 4 of Jude. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance. Now understand, remembrance means you can bring back to your memory, amen? So you can learn about this, and you knew about it, but he wants you to remember it. And look what this says. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And I always find that stunning when they talk about Egypt, and when you talk about the great mighty hand of the Lord delivering the people out of Egypt, delivering them out of that bondage, I always find it amazing that the children of Israel murmured. I always find it amazing that they became disgruntled. But then I look back at my own life and find out, and look at all the miracles that God has done in my life and how many times I grumble at Him myself. And I mean, I didn't get to see the parting of the Red Sea, but I've seen a lot of seas parted in my life. Let me tell you something. You want to get closer to the Lord, start thanking Him for what He does for you. Let me say that again. If you want to get closer to the Lord, start thanking Him for the stuff He does for you. The vast majority of the people, well, God's not working anymore. No, you're not at the job site. He's working. He's working in a lot of ways. I mean, glory to God. Brother Mike's a wonderful example. Here he is. Here, listen to me. I am an old, dirty, rotten wretch of a sinner. Yet there I was preaching on Thursday night. Now you look at, well, I ought to be. No, hogwash, I'm a sinner. I ought not be. I ought not be proclaiming Jesus Christ. He ought not give me the opportunity. He ought not. Why? Because I don't deserve to do that. But God has worked through me, and I'm so excited about it. I can't even tell you. I get to preach again this week. I preached a funeral this last week. Because the Lord is using me, I'm so excited about the miracle that is. The miracle to have the opportunity to proclaim a wonderful Savior that has made so many changes in my life. Just looking at those miracles, I love to hang around people that see the little things in life. I love to hang around people that thank God for the winter we just had. That's no small miracle around here, I'll tell you that right now. Glory to God, amen, hallelujah, amen, glory to God. But you got to understand something. I want to start seeing the creation and the miracles and the things that happen in people's lives. I want to start seeing the little things so I can go back on them later. Listen, I use the good things almost like a deposit in a bank. No, seriously, I want you to hear this for a minute. I use those as a deposit in the bank so I can recall, so I can bring to remembrance the things that have happened good in my life so I can say, no, Jesus, I saw you do it here. I know you can do it there. I saw you do it. I know you can. I remember the miracles. And glory to God, because I remember those things, I can call upon those today and make a withdrawal of encouragement for my life. We spend more of our time depressed because we forget our near past. We spend more of our time in the dumps because we forget the wonderful salvation that God gave to us freely by paying with it with His own blood hanging on the cross at Calvary. We forget that wonderful miracle. And then we proceed through our life down in the dumps knowing that heaven is our eventual home. I'm going to walk streets of gold someday. What is there to be upset about? Oh, I understand. Oh, the Lord, the world could be getting ready to end. Why are we so frowny? The world getting ready to end means your eternity is about ready to begin. Good Lord, man, we're all twisted and our intestines are stopping up because we can't believe all the things that are happening in this world. I got to be honest with you. Glory to God, they're happening in this world because I got heaven coming. That's just a side note. That's why we can't get past this stuff, Brother Coolidge, because I won't stop doing that. I will therefore put you in remembrance, verse 5, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after a strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Hell really does exist. I hope you know that today too. Just as much as heaven exists, hell does exist. And if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I can't stop you from going there. Only you can stop you from going there. Now, there's three different cases that the Lord shows us in these verses. And if you go through these with me, the number one case, Israelites whom God destroyed for unbelief after they had been delivered from bondage in Egypt. You remember how that the Lord delivered the folks out of Egypt, brought them through, got them to the edge of the promised land, brought them through the Red Sea. They saw the plagues, good night and the morning. They spoiled the Egyptians on the way out. God wrought a great miracle. All these things, they were singing as they were walking out and cursing as they walked on. It's amazing to me that the Israelites didn't bring that to their memory, but you see, we got to the promised land. They sent out 12 spies. That was 10 too many. Two fellas came back, said, let's go take it. And then the 10 came back, said, we can't do it. And they get to the edge of the promised land. They don't believe God can. Right. Now, listen. The reason that they got punished, the reason that everybody from 20 years old and up died in the wilderness for those years that they spent out in the wilderness was simply because they did not believe that God could. That's it. Don't think anything else. Don't think it was because of their great sin. Listen, unbelief has always been the sin that commands punishment. It's not your good deeds that get you to heaven. It's not your bad deeds that keep you out. It's unbelief that keeps you out of heaven, and it's belief that gets you in. So listen, so God said, you know what? You're not going to do what I told you to do. You're going to go and you're going to be afraid and you're going to be scared. And the Christian life is scary. The Christian life is hard. I'm not going to be a person to sit there and tell you it's all roses all the time. But what I am going to sit here and tell you is that when God tells you to do something, don't let somebody else stop you. I would to God Joshua and Caleb would have just said, you know what, forget it. You guys go on. We're going over here. Joshua and Caleb wouldn't have been stopped either. I got news for you later on, and I don't have time to go into this. Caleb ends up beating the giants anyhow. After all the wandering, Caleb's an old man. He might have had no teeth by that time. I don't know. He gummed him to death, though. He beat him up. Why? Because God went before him. In your life, does God go before you into your battles? That's the first thing. Second thing, disobedient angels who left heaven and went after strange flesh committing fornication. We'll get back to that one. Third one. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah who are suffering the vengeance of eternal fire, having died violently for going after strange flesh and committing fornication. I'm going to park there for 1 minute only because I want you to understand something that's very real. Don't you get lopped up into this group that believes that the alternative lifestyle is okay. What do you think the strange flesh that Sodom and Gomorrah, what do you think the strange flesh was? It was men with men, women with women, working that which is unseemly. It's an abomination. Now listen, and I want you to hear this. I'm not in the Westboro Baptist idiot crowd. I don't know if you know who they are, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you belong to that group, you're in the wrong church, brother. Because I don't like people going around picketing saying God hates fags and God hates this and God hates that. Listen to me. I'll tell you what God hates. That's sin. He does not hate the sinner. He loves the sinner. Every last one of them. Don't you tell me that God doesn't love the homosexual. Don't tell me that God doesn't love the queer. Don't tell me that God doesn't love the sodomite. God does love the sodomite. You sit there and tell me that God hates anything. I got issue with you until you get to the word sin. And I'm not going to picket military funerals. And I'm not going to, I'm going to tell you right now, I hope and pray that I never go to a military funeral that's being picketed. Thank God our soldiers died. They hold up signs. No, they hold up signs saying it's good that God killed them. Let me tell you something. I would to God they'd get Baptist off their church name. I thank, listen, I can't thank veterans enough. I can't. There's not words that can express my gratitude towards the people that gave their life or gave their livelihood while they served in the military and their wives that served right next to them and didn't have their husbands or vice versa. The husbands didn't have their wives because they went and served. Listen, there's not enough you can do or say or thank when it comes to the veterans. Every last one of them are heroes. Don't you dare pick it in front of me. That's just a coupon, too. That's like four coupons already this morning. But Sodom and Gomorrah was really destroyed. There really was fire and brimstone. That's not a story and a parable. That's a truth. And they were destroyed because their sin was so wicked and evil that God decided to destroy it all with the people in it. Well, that's horrible, Brother Dave. God did it. God is good all the time. I know I sin too, but listen to me. That type of sin is an abomination unto the Lord. That's what the Bible says. If you have an issue with that, take it up with the author. So with the knowledge that the folks to whom the Lord was writing through Jude had only one source for information about these three incidents, what would that be? That would be the Old Testament. When Jude is writing, the entirety of the New Testament was not available. So you had the Old Testament, which I believe at that time had pretty much been culminated into one group. And so they had the Old Testament they could go on. By the way, I want to help you a little bit. And this is just a side note again. The Word of God has been available throughout history to be able to have people to get the knowledge to be saved. Always. Don't go to the fact, well, during the Dark Ages, we didn't have the Word of God. Oh, no. The Word of God has always been preserved, has always been available. Now, men may have shut it down. Men may have done what they did because the devil wanted to get the Word of God out, which is the number one and greatest, single greatest con that the devil has ever given. Yea, hath God said, still going today. But understand this, it's always been available. In Jude's day, as the Lord is penning through Jude these words, the remembrance must appear in the Old Testament. Now, the reason they could bring these to the remembrance was because they had read them in the Scriptures. Incident number one is found in Numbers chapter 14. Look at Numbers chapter 14 with me real quickly. Numbers chapter 14, we're just going to start in verse 26. This is when the Lord gets tired. And the Lord spake unto Moses in verse 26 in Numbers chapter 14 and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? Could you imagine the Lord saying that to your church? How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which he said should be a prey, I love this. We take our people into the promised land, all of our kids are going to get killed. Look what it says. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in. And they shall know the land which ye have despised. Now wait a minute. I want you to notice that word there. Look at the word despised. Annie sends me a card on my called to preach birthday. Okay, well, my surrender to preach. I knew I was supposed to be a preacher long before that, but the day that I surrendered to preach, she sends me a card. If the Lord would have called me to preach, and I would have ignored the call and not done it, now listen, that would have mean I despised what God had for my life. I'm comparing that to what they said here in this verse. I've given you the promised land, but because you would not go in, you have despised that which I've given you. Now listen, many of you in this room may be called to do something for Jesus Christ. Oh, it may not be a preacher, it may not be a lay person, but it's something. I don't care if it's picking up trash or getting a trash can. I don't care what it is. If you've been called by God to do something and you do it not, this is scripture now. Don't look at Brother David. You are despising what God has asked you to do. Despising. I don't despise God. Brother Dave, I don't despise. I wonder if the Lord asked you to go soul winning and you don't come. Does that mean you despise soul winning? I'm just reading what the Bible says. See, I've given you something. I've given you the ability to walk. I've given you the ability to see and speak. I've given you the ability to hear and carry things. I've given you the ability to do all these things, and more than that, I've pricked your heart to do it. However, you decided you can't. Therefore, all I can imagine is that you despise what I've asked you to do. Just a thought. So we see here the punishment. And by the way, did the punishment come to pass? Yeah, it sure did. It sure did. So we see that in Numbers chapter 14. Now the last one is found in Genesis 19. Now look over there in Genesis 19. Man alive, I am not going to get to this last page. The giant's going to walk another week. Genesis chapter 19, if you look through this, and I'm not going to take all the time in the world to spend on this, but if you look at Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, "Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." They're not talking about getting introduced, brother. They're talking about having illicit sexual relations that are an abomination in the eyes of God out in the street to those two angels that were sent from God. Now, if you study the angels just for a little bit, one angel could wipe out 185,000 Syrians. I got to believe, I don't care how many people were at the door, that the angels could take them right out. But these men were unconcerned with the sin they were about to commit. Why? Because they had deemed in their lives that what they were doing was just an alternative lifestyle. And the angels took care of them later. I'm not going to go on further, but you know what happens to Sodom and Gomorrah. Brimstone, fire is rained upon the city. And it really happened. It's not some bedtime story that the Sodomite crowd today is trying to get you to believe that it really didn't happen. Because it really did. That's number three. Well, so what about incident number two? Nowhere else in the Old Testament can you find anything that will fit this bill except Genesis chapter 6. Notice also the chronology of Jude. You will see that the fornication of the angels took place before that of Sodom. Therefore, we must find remembrance of this before Genesis 19. Well, what comes before Genesis 19? Genesis chapter 6. Careful study in the scripture will lead you to the conclusion that that angels are flesh, just not the same flesh. Angels look the same, eat the same food, and are the same size, and by many accounts were mistaken as mortal men. Throughout the scripture, people looked upon angels and said, well, look at these men. What did we just read in Sodom? They saw them as beautiful. But let me tell you something. I believe they were handsome fellas. They probably looked a lot like me. But you must understand something. When they came in, they weren't 17 feet tall. When they came in, they can have a countenance of light. The scripture tells us it can be terrifying, but they can also look just like men. And many times we're mistaken as men. But according to scripture, their flesh and women's flesh that were daughters of men in this world were strange to each other. Something about them was not the same. They were not supposed to cohabit with each other. They were not supposed to do that. They were not supposed to work that which was unseemly. The angels were not supposed to do what they did. But it's amazing that the devil ordered them to do it. Now, look in 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. We did this 3 weeks ago, talked about this world being ungodly. That right there enough. I don't care if you study anything else. The godly line of Seth is blown to smithereens when the Bible says upon the world of the ungodly. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Hello, America! Look at what you're reading here! Sodom and Gomorrah was an example! If you're going to live ungodly, expect the same! And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Well, I believe Lot was a saved man. His righteous soul being vexed daily. Why? Because he wasn't doing anything about it. He should never live there in the first place. Matter of fact, Lot should have never been along with Abraham at all. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Let me explain something to you, Christian. Why do you feel bad when you're in a bad place? Huh? Not because of your flesh. Inside your flesh dwelleth no good thing. But if you're saved, you got that Spirit of God inside of you that lets you know when something's wrong. Why do you feel all oogie when you get around a queer? Because your righteous soul knows that that is not right. Brother Dave, you just got homophobia. You ain't kidding. Get away from me, a phobia is what I've got. Say what you want to say. Accept Christ as your Savior. After that, I'm done. Be mad at me all you want. Well, you're not a good preacher. I'm standing here. You're not. Hey, listen. We live in a world where we've stopped seeing things as right and wrong. We've stopped preaching against it because nobody shows up. Let me explain something to you. I don't care if I've got nobody. I'm not changing preaching for anybody. I don't care if it's just my family. I'm still going to preach what the Bible says. Oh, Brother Dave, you're full of hate. No, the Bible's full of love. No, no, no. See, you're missing it. You're missing this. You're missing this. People of the world got to understand something. Jesus Christ loves his people. He loves every person that has ever walked the face of this earth. He's loved them. He loved them so much that he sent his only begotten son to die for every single person. He loves them so much he tries to instruct them in righteousness. If you love your children, you're not going to tell them to do wrong. And if they do, you're going to punish them, I hope. Because if you don't punish your children and let them know what's right and what's wrong, eventually, I promise you, they will do wrong if given the chance. Now, I'm not saying your children are never going to do wrong, even if you teach them right from wrong, because kids do what they want to do. But as parents, I am certainly not going to go ahead and say, kids, you just do whatever you want and we'll clean up the pieces later. I'm going to tell my kids to do right. And that's what the Lord does. The Lord tells them to do right, and they do it not. So if you see these things all wrapped up together, this testimony that we see here in 2 Peter chapter 2, the context of this incident is the flood. The timing of the passage puts Sodom and Gomorrah after the flood, and the flood after the sin of the angels. Amen? That's what this timing says. The language of both passages concerning the fall of the angels is almost identical. So we look at the third statement that Mr. Schofield makes. We are expressly told that marriage is unknown among the angels. Look at the one they pick, Matthew chapter 22. I know it's switching gears a little bit here, but this all goes together. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 30. This is the verse that he uses to prove this inside of his little footnotes. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So we're expressly told here a couple of things, but there's words that they miss when they look at these. Two things we must notice. Jesus said it in the resurrection, nobody gets married. He also said the angels which are where do not get married. Huh? Does it say anything about the fallen angels? Does it say anything about the angels which left their first estate? Does it say anything about the angels that were on the earth? No, it said the angels that are in heaven do not marry. You cannot draw the conclusion out of here that no angels ever marry, because that's not what that says. So we are expressly told that marriage is unknown among the angels. That's hogwash. It is known. Look at Genesis chapter 6. Amen? Now look at 12:25 in Mark. Let's see what Mark says about it. 12:25 in Mark. And Jesus answering said unto, verse 24, and Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures. Christian, that is a challenge to you. Don't think you know it. Read about it. You know not the scripture, neither the power of God. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are where? In heaven. Not the ones that were on the earth. In heaven. Now, last one. We may get through with this. Glory to God. Angels are spoken of in a sexless way. I can end with this right here. I challenge you. Angels, sexless means gender neuter or no gender whatsoever. If you can show me one place in this old King James Bible where the angels are spoken of in a sexless way, I'll give you a $100 bill. You'll never see an angel referred to as an it. Amen? You're never going to see an angel referred to as a female. Not one time. What is the archangel's name? There's only one, by the way. Gabriel's not an archangel. Michael is the archangel. There's only one. There's only one chief messenger, okay? One chief, and that's Michael. What, is that a girl, Michelle? It's Michael. Michael the archangel. What's the one that brings forth the good tidings all the time? What's his name? Gabriel. Is that a woman's name? It's not Gabriella. It's Gabriel. Not one time will you find a female angel spoken of in Scripture. Every last one of them is male. The Lord created them, I believe, in one big lump. He just said, I need angels. And there they were. God spoke it. There it is. He didn't need our help. Now, you must understand something. When you read about these then, and you study the Scriptures about these then, I'm going to sum it all up with this one simple spot. And by the way, no angels have wings. That'll throw a real monkey wrench. Show me one spot in here where the men were walking around with wings. Man, that's odd looking, fella. Lot came out and said, wow, you got wings. You must be an angel. No angel ever has wings, not one. A cherubim has wings. A seraphim has wings. Neither of them only have two. Study your Bible. You err not knowing the Scriptures. This is what the Bible says. The cherubim has four. Two here and on his feet. Think about that. Then the seraphim has six. See, what you got to understand is people don't know the Bible and they make all these pictures of beautiful women angels. Beautiful women angels don't exist. Not one place. Now, I'll end this study with the rehashing of what I have come to see as the second great attempt to interrupt the great plan of God. And this is true. This is what it was. The devil thought this plan through. That's why it's mentioned in the Scripture. That's why it's important. Otherwise, we could just skim over it and not care. But see, I believe that everything that's in here is very important. The devil decided to send many of his following angels to the earth and take up daughters of all they chose. By doing this, he was trying to eradicate the human race, thereby forestalling the intent to have Jesus born of a virgin. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, her seed. As silly as this sounds, he almost made it. If you can get the crowd of the world, and I'll end it with this. If you can get the crowd of the world to have the thoughts and intents of their heart only evil continually, the devil did a pretty good job. He got it down. And by the way, let me explain something to you. The devil, for some reason, ignores the fact that God knows everything. He's the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has occurred to God? So God saved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, the eighth person. If I remember right, preacher, eight is the number of a new beginning. He brought the flood on after he had Noah make a boat in times where it had never rained. That's just dumb. It's never even rained, Noah. He preached for 120 years, begging people to get saved, as the devil stood on the sidelines and laughed, watching no converts come. Yet here they were, on the side of that boat, going into that ark, watching the rains come down, heaven opened up and the boat rose up on that water. Can you hear the screams of the people that once were only evil continually, now wanting to save their sorry skins? I wish I'd have listened to you, Noah. I wish I'd have listened to you. Just open up the door. I promise I'll get saved if you just open the door. No, you had 120 years. You should have got saved during that time. Hey, Preacher Skyver, I know you keep telling me to get saved, but you know what? I'll wait. You don't have the time. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior today, you die walking out of this building without Him. You'll go straight to hell, and you'll never get out. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. We're going to see some more men of old, men of renown. Oh, that first plan was foiled. But let me tell you something. The devil's greatest plan is, yea, hath God said. I believe that with all my heart. That plan's still going on today. I got to believe that we hash this over enough to realize that Genesis chapter 6 is not talking about godly sons of anything. It's talking about fallen angels. And it's talking about a devil's master plan to eradicate the human race. We'll get back to the kings next week. We did make it through. The giants are now dead. Amen. Let's bow our heads.